One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been a kinsman of yours, of ours, sorry, tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "Whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "The kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true I am of near kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her, and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today."
Well, good morning, everyone. We're on to part 3 of our series on the Book of Ruth, and it's entitled Looking for a Little Rest, which hopefully I'll explain in a moment. I'd like to make a few general comments first about the Book of Ruth. First of all, in case anyone thinks it's a fairy story, I want to say that it's a true historical story that happened in the days of the Book of Judges, in the days of the Judges, we are told. So it's a historical story. I don't know if you've noticed, though, one interesting thing. The book starts and ends with Naomi. Although it's called the Book of Ruth, and Ruth does have a massive role to play, it's quite interesting that Naomi is at the beginning and Naomi is at the end. And often, in Old Testament stories, the person at the beginning and the person at the end is the main character. You may think Ruth and Boaz are the main characters, and they have a huge role to play, but really, the focus is on what happens to Naomi. In many ways, the story is about Naomi. And Ruth, amazing faith that she shows, she is acting as an agent for Naomi. Because, you know, Naomi went through terrible things, didn't she? She started out, if you know the story, being full. You know, she had a husband, she had 2 sons, she had land in Bethlehem. And then they made the wrong decision to go into Moab, which is the land of curse, a cursed place for the ancient Israelites. And it's kind of crazy that they went there, but they went looking for food And Naomi lost everything. Her husband died. Her two sons died. She ended up in a famine. And that's at the beginning of the book. But then you see through Ruth, and then through the Redeemer, Boaz, who is a picture of Christ, Naomi comes back at the end of the book to a place of fullness, restoration, children. And although she doesn't marry, Ruth marries for her. Ruth is like a surrogate agent for Naomi. So I want to just leave that thought with you, that although it's called the Book of Ruth, it's really, there's a question running through the whole book. And the question is this. It's a tension. It says, the tension says, what will happen to Naomi? Will she end up being lost forever because she made a mistake? Or will she be restored? And here we see a glimpse of the good news. You see, people who make a mess of their lives, people who mess up and go away from God, there is hope. There is hope for them. Look at the story of Naomi. So I want to say to you, before I get into chapter 3, that the Book of Ruth is really the story of Naomi's return and her redemption. Redemption means when someone pays a price to bless you and bring you back, which is what Boaz and Ruth do for her. The word return appears 15 times in the Book of Ruth. The word redeem appears 23 times in the Book of Ruth. It's amazing. It's a lovely story of God restoring people and being with them, even though they may have messed up terribly and made great mistakes. Now, for ancient Israel, obviously this book had a meaning for them back in those days. It doesn't mean the same for us now, perhaps. But the author of the Book of Ruth probably had an original purpose. I'm not going to talk about that because we haven't got time, but I just want to say that some people think it may have been written for Israel when they were in exile. When Israel was far away from God, the author wrote this book to say, what is required for you to return to the Lord for redemption? And it's a story of hope. And some people think that Naomi represents Israel. When Israel had gone away from God and the message cries, there's hope for you. You can come back. You can be restored to blessing and fullness. Other people think it may have been written about bringing in King David, because the name King David is mentioned at the end of the Book of Ruth. But we don't know the real purpose, but God had a purpose for it, for his ancient people. But glory to God, he's got a purpose for it for us today as well, the church. You know, Christians, because for Christians, as I've said, this story foreshadows the gospel. It's a beautiful, beautiful story of God bringing people back into the promised land. And I think for us, that means into Christ. Christ is the promised land. And Christ is also shown through the character Boaz. Okay. A few other quick comments about Ruth, the book. You'll notice that there are these words that appear in it. Emptiness, famine, sadness, death, bitterness. That's how the book starts when they go off into the world, which is pictured by Moab, the land of Moab. But then there are these wonderful gospel hints in the story, coming back to the promised land. Coming back to Boaz, the Redeemer, who is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we come across these sorts of words. Fullness, plenty, joy, life, hope. It really excites me, this ancient book. It excites me because it's really a picture of the fullness that Christ can bring. You know, people can be empty, lost, starving in the world, and they come to Jesus and he fills them with hope and fullness. Okay, so let's get into chapter 3. The story so far, I don't know if you've all been with us each week, but in chapter 1, the basic overall message of chapter 1 is this, that only a costly return to Christ can bring hope. in an empty world. And in chapter one, we see Naomi and Ruth going back to the promised land. That's a picture for us today of returning to Christ to find hope. Then chapter two, there is a focus in chapter two. I've put a picture of a spotlight on the screen because each chapter shines a spotlight on a particular aspect that the author wanted to say. In chapter two, the spotlight shifts away from Ruth and Naomi's returning onto the Redeemer himself. You know, it talks about Boaz quite a lot in chapter two. And the cry is this: there is a Redeemer in the land of covenant promise. You know, God hasn't left you without a Redeemer. There's a Redeemer waiting for you in the land of promise. And it's wonderful, chapter two. It shines a spotlight on him. You could call chapter two, if you wanted to give it a title, you could call it Meet the Redeemer. See his character. And in the story, you will recall Ruth starts gleaning. That means working in the fields, picking up grain. And we see that Boaz, instead of treating her badly because she's a foreign woman, Boaz gives strong protection and generous provision. That's what Jesus does for those who come to him. And Boaz is center stage in chapter two. Right, let's get on to chapter three. What is the spotlight shining on in chapter three? What is the focus of chapter three in the book of Ruth that Joe read for us just now? Well, I'd like to suggest it's this. The focus shifts from Boaz back to Naomi and Ruth, but focuses in on their faith. You know, they're needy. They're in a great sense of need. Ruth has been helping with the harvest, but that's only a short-term blessing. You know, it's no good just helping with a harvest. I mean, it's kind for a while, but you need something more substantial. You need a home. You need a provider. Just helping in the harvest is not enough by itself. And this spotlight focuses in on the needy couple, Naomi and Ruth. But really, it looks at their faith. Because you see, Ruth and Naomi, and Naomi using Ruth, reach out to this Redeemer. So I want you to see some differences between chapters two and three. In chapter two, as I said, the focus is on Boaz, the Redeemer. And in chapter two, it's all done in broad daylight, in the daytime. And there's lots of other people in the field. It's public. There's everyone there. It's a nice sort of happy scene. But chapter three is different. Chapter three, the focus shifts to look at the faith that Naomi and Ruth in their need are going to exercise. And here's something you may not have perhaps realized. A lot of it happens at night, chapter three. It happens at night. It happens in privacy, secrecy, in darkness. There's a sense of intimacy. And there's no crowd involved anymore. It's a one-on-one encounter between a woman and her Redeemer. You know, when Ruth goes to see Boaz in the threshing floor. So I want to say, if you don't remember anything else from today, I want you to try and remember that chapter three of Ruth reveals six truths about authentic biblical faith. The emphasis is on faith. It's saying, what is faith? You know, okay, you come to Jesus, you find this wonderful Redeemer, but what sort of faith do you need to have in him? That's what this chapter is telling us. So let's go to the first five verses. Scene one. I like to call it scene one. You know, like in a Hollywood movie, when you have the clapperboard, you say, right, this is scene one. Verses one to five is scene one. And here, Naomi and Ruth initiate a daring plan. They come up with this plan, and it's quite bold and courageous. And this is what we read. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. And by the way, that word home can be translated rest. What Naomi is saying is she's saying to Ruth, I must find rest for you, my daughter. I want you to rest in a home. And that's why this session is called Looking for a Little Rest. And Naomi goes on to say, Boaz, with those women that you've been working, he's a relative of ours. What does that mean? Why did she say that? Well, because you see, Boaz, he had an obligation, because he was a relative. Because he was a relative, he had an obligation to marry someone from Naomi's family. If someone in Naomi's family had died, right? She'd lost her husband. Ruth had lost their husbands. There were no men. There were no men to provide anymore. And because Boaz was a relative, he had a covenant obligation to marry Ruth and provide protection and cover for Naomi and Ruth. He was actually what they call a family guardian redeemer. That's why Naomi comes up with this plan. She says, look, go to him. He can save us. He can be our savior. Then in verse 3, which I've highlighted in yellow, she tells Ruth, put on perfume, get dressed, put on your best clothes, go down to the threshing floor. Can I just say, this is not a picture of sexual seduction. It's not that she's trying to seduce Boaz by dressing up this way. What she's doing is she's dressing as a bride. These are bridal clothes. And what Naomi is saying, she's saying this to Ruth. Look, that man, he has an obligation to be your redeemer. He can be your savior. He really ought to marry you. So go dressed as a bride. And then we come to the bottom of the screen. If you can see, I've written in yellow, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. Now, that seems a very strange thing to us, doesn't it? But that's how you would propose to someone in those days. When I proposed to Karina, we didn't uncover each other's feet. I proposed to Karina at an air show in front of a Spitfire and a chip van, which is a slightly perhaps less romantic than what happens here. But this procedure looks strange to us. Go and uncover his feet. But it's a way of proposing and dating and saying, look, I want you to marry me. And Ruth says, I will do whatever you say. She's obedient in her faith. Okay, what can this teach us about faith? Well, first of all, I want to say faith is intentional. It is a deliberate reaching out to the Redeemer. Faith is not a passive waiting around for something to just happen. Naomi and Ruth, they took the initiative. They said, let's reach out to this Redeemer. And I want to encourage you at Christchurch Yule, don't just be passive. Even if you're a Christian already, don't just be passive and think, well, what will happen. I want to encourage you to reach out to your Redeemer. When you pray, seek him. Seek, you know, you might be a Christian, fine. You can still seek the Lord. I had a friend who was a Christian called Norman. He would spend every Saturday morning seeking the Lord. He didn't have to, but he did. He reached out and he went on with God. I met someone once at a disco a couple of years ago. I don't tend to be a great disco fan, but I went to a disco 2 years ago. And I remember talking to someone who was very passive and he said, oh, what will be, will be. What will be, will be. I say to that, no, in this story, these two women, Naomi and then Ruth as well, on Naomi's instruction, they reach out to a Redeemer. Okay, let's go to scene 2 in our little movie. Scene 2, verses 6-7. In this section, Ruth approaches the threshing floor full of men at night. And I hope you understand this was actually quite a dangerous thing to do in the days of the Book of Judges. In the days of the Book of Judges, women were raped quite regularly. And there's a terrible story in the Book of Judges about a gang rape where terrible things happened. Women without men to protect them were very vulnerable. And Ruth is taking a huge, scary risk going down to a threshing floor. That's a place where they process the harvest, where there are men who are off duty, who've had a bit of wine to drink. I mean, it seems crazy, doesn't it? And if she had been raped, no one would have been held accountable. They would have got away with it. And what am I saying at this point? I want to say that this story here, this section, scene two, teaches us that faith is vulnerable. True faith abandons all other securities. Ruth did a very scary, risky thing. She entrusts herself to one Redeemer, believing he will protect her and treat her right. She has no other hope. You know, Ruth was a foreign woman. She could have been abused terribly, but she obeyed. She reached out to this Redeemer. And I just want to say that, to make this relevant to us, God might ask you to do something that seems quite scary. I remember when I had to do something for the Lord and I had to give up a cherished sport that I did, I was scared that my friends would mock me. I was scared of the abuse I would get. But Jesus protected me, and Jesus actually made it the situation go really, really well. So faith is vulnerable. God will sometimes cause us to do things that might seem scary, but we are to do them, trusting him. Okay, scene three. Now, this is the high drama of the story, verses 8 to 9. She lies down at his feet. Then it says, in the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." Now, what can that teach us? I mean, look at the story. It's in the dark. It's private. It's one-on-one. No one else knows what's going on. And I believe this shows us that our faith has to be intimate. What do I mean? I mean that we have to respond to Jesus one-on-one. It's no good hoping that, okay, your family might go to church, therefore you'll be okay. You don't get into heaven by on the coattails of your parents. You have to go to Jesus yourself, one-on-one, just like Ruth had to go to Boaz. I think it was at the far end of the grain pile. It was in an isolated place. What this is teaching us is that salvation is individual and personal and intimate. Do you remember when Zacchaeus met Jesus? Zacchaeus was up a tree all by himself. Okay, he went there because he was short. He wanted to see above the crowds to see Jesus. But he was alone in the tree. It's a picture of how we must come to Christ one-on-one. And for all of us who know the Lord, I want to encourage you. This story of Ruth being intimate with Boaz teaches us that we should have an intimate relationship with Jesus, our Redeemer. It's not enough just to go to church on a Sunday. We ought to be seeking to develop a one-on-one personal relationship with our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And then Ruth says something very strange. She says this in verse 9. She says, "I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." To put the corner of the garment over someone is a symbol of marriage. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, we won't turn to it, but in chapter 16 of Ezekiel, God talks about when he marries his people. And he talks about spreading the corner of his garment over them to marry them. So what Ruth is doing, she's saying, I want you to marry me. But this is what I want to make clear to you. They didn't fancy each other. It's not really a love story, this book, this story. It's not really a romance. We don't know if Boaz felt anything for Ruth. We don't know if she was even good looking or pretty. The reason she asked him to marry was on the basis of covenant promise. You see, Ruth knew this man is a redeemer. He has a covenant obligation to look after our family. I'm going to ask him to marry me on the basis of covenant. On the basis of covenant, covenant promises, not because we fancy each other. And I want to say to you, this is a picture for us. We can go to Jesus, our Redeemer, and we can say the words I've written in red on the screen. We can say to Jesus, you promised to be a Redeemer to me. Now do what you have promised. You know, God has committed himself to you people at Christ Church. He's committed himself on the basis of covenant that Christ will be your Redeemer and he will do what he has promised to do. Ruth went in faith on the basis of covenant promise. And so can we go to Jesus in the same way. Okay, scene four. Boaz proves that he is a trustworthy redeemer. He responds to Ruth's claim of faith. Boaz does not hesitate. He doesn't say, what are you doing at my feet? Go away. He doesn't say, no, I don't want to accept you. You're not good enough for me. He doesn't say, oh, you're dirty or you're ugly. Or he doesn't say any of these things. He responds, yes, I will not hesitate to redeem you. The words that Boaz says are found, I think, in verse 11. He says, and now, my daughter, do not be afraid or do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. So my fifth point about faith, I'm nearly finished, but the fifth one is this. Faith is effective. If you come to Jesus, it's effective. He's not going to hold you at arm's length and say, talk to the hand. Jesus will never say to you, talk to the hand, go away. He is your Redeemer. He's covenantly obliged to help you. Let me read what's on the screen. It says, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, hesitates no more than did Boaz. When called upon to fulfill his covenant promises, he will always perform. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, always responds to covenant faith. What a wonderful Savior, Redeemer we have. He is obliged to help his people through covenant. You know, Jesus said, Boaz said, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. Well, do you remember the story of the leper who came to Jesus? I don't know if you remember that story in Mark chapter 1. A leper comes to Jesus and he's not sure if Jesus will help him. He says, Lord, if you're willing, can you make me clean? What does the Lord say? He says, I am willing. That is Jesus' heart. God is for you, people at Christ Church. God is for you as your Redeemer, not against you. For you through covenant. Okay, let me just read a quote I read in a book recently. It says this. A daring and intentional exercise of faith, claiming God's covenant promises, will never be disappointed. Jesus will never disappoint you if you cry out to him. That was a quote by Christopher Ashe. Okay, the final scene of our chapter today, scene five. And this is an interesting one. You know, Boaz has promised he will redeem. He's going to do it. Yeah, there's one or two problems, but he'll sort those out. There's always a few problems in life, aren't there? But Boaz is going to sort out those problems. It's going to be sorted. But Naomi tells Ruth that she has to wait. You know, they have to wait. The reason they have to wait is because there was another redeemer who could have done some redeeming of the family. But what I want to focus on in the last part of our chapter is this idea of waiting. Naomi says, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Well, I want to just finish by saying this to you all to encourage you. Sometimes faith will involve waiting. I know, on a silly level, I know when we tried to move house coming here, we had to wait and wait for the solicitors and then things went wrong and waiting. Faith involves waiting. And I want to encourage you, if you're having to wait for an answer from God, maybe about a healing, maybe for someone to be saved, keep praying, keep going to your Redeemer and wait. Because true faith involves waiting. But God will not disappoint you. Jesus will not disappoint you. In the story, Ruth is told to wait. Let me read quickly what's on the screen. Ruth has to wait at the end of chapter 3 for her Redeemer to marry her. In the waiting, faith rests on the character of the Redeemer. The Redeemer will not rest until he has delivered on the promise to which he is committed. And I've put on the screen there a picture of a book I have called, it's about the church, it's called His Waiting Bride. And in many ways, we as a church are waiting, aren't we? We are betrothed to Christ, our bridegroom, but we're waiting for our final wedding day when our bodies will be resurrected, when we will be with him forever. And in the meantime, God is saying to us at Christ Church, you'll keep coming to me in faith, reaching out to me in faith. Keep doing these things. Keep serving me as you wait. So to finish, what should be our response to Ruth chapter 3? Well, I think it should be this. We ought to exercise the sort of faith that Ruth and Naomi had, or go on exercising it. You know, things like reaching out to the Redeemer, not being passive. Things like being prepared to wait. Going to Jesus and saying, "You are my Redeemer. Will you redeem this situation? You have a covenant obligation." And doing the sort and getting intimate. We should be intimate with our Redeemer. Spend time with him one-on-one. Don't just come on a Sunday. There are so many things we can learn about the kind of faith we should exercise from Ruth chapter 3. And I want to encourage you, go home and read it. See that, and when, as you read it, think about the faith that these two women had in their Redeemer. Okay, let's finish and pray. Lord, I thank you for the example of faith that is highlighted in Ruth chapter 3. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to not just let this go in one ear and out the other, but help us be those who seek after you. Help me, Lord, to seek after you and to reach out to you and to wait in faith and to be intimate and personal with you like Ruth was with Boaz. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful example of faith as shown in Ruth chapter 3. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to stop screen sharing and hand back to Debbie.